Hey everyone, thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Non Corporate Girls, episode 61, Fostering Community with Coach Lyne. Stay tuned and keep it locked. Hey everyone, it's your girl Ayana, Non-Corporate Girls, and we're tuning in with episode 61. Today we have our friends at Culture Lime, and we're going to tell you a little bit about them. So Culture Lime was created to connect and use this wonderful media platform to open up to the greatest possibility of life. We're all on a mission to seek out our truth and make it beautiful, but not only looking at the joy of life for what it is, but for what it can be. Culture Lime seeks to foster an environment that creates mindful entertainment through the collaborative promotion of diverse individuals and experiences that help shape our culture. So welcome, Culture Lime. I have Courtney Wallace, Julissa Contreras, Nicole Lewis, Damian Cruz, and I kind of want you guys to kind of jump in, say your name, your background, and how you found Culture Lime.
So I'm Julissa. And I basically, so I work for WeWork, at WeWork, I found the lovely Courtney Wallace, who connected me to the Lime. My journey up until where I met Courtney, though, so I worked in nonprofit for several years. I did a lot of, like, advocacy work, as well as team development. I'm also an artist, so I'm a playwright, I'm an actor, and I create content online. I have a video called Shit Spanish Girls Say that went viral, and it was really awesome and inspiring, and it sort of springboarded me continuing in my art, and I currently have a podcast myself called Ladies Who Bronche, and it's basically, we have difficult conversations over brunch, right, and it's just me and my co-host Skittles, and we make it happen. But given my sort of passion for diversity and doing what we call here, we work a We Talk. Courtney had attended that We Talk, and the talk was about inclusion and diversity at our company. And then he was like, hey, like, I have this awesome thing that we do, and like, you should be a part of it.
Yeah.
And then we sort of took it from there, and the Lime has been going long and strong for 10 plus sessions now. So
amazing. You're like a Jane of all trades.
Yeah. I like that. I get bored really easily, so I like having more than one avenue. Sure.
Awesome. Courtney?
I don't know what to say. So, yeah. So.
You guys have to bear with Courtney. He's a little shy.
Yeah.
I'm not shy. I'm drunk.
No, you are not.
Catering in Non-Corporate Girls is amazing.
I can't.
So, yeah, the Lime started working at a co-working space. I've been working at WeWork for about 7.5 years now. During the earlier days, we used to have to go to a lot of, like, lead gen networking events. And I never saw, I didn't often see a reflection of myself in what I like at these events. So I wanted to create a space where we can throw events. And the focus wasn't, as even though this event is curated and created for people who feel like me in those type of situations, I wanted to create an event that happened on a regular basis where it wasn't just like Black History Month. That's why we have these amazing panel discussions or performances. So I wanted to create an event that told the Black and Brown experience in its totality. That we're more than just rappers, and we're more than just the entertainment at these events. Like, we run our own businesses. We're all just trying to figure them out. And it's not necessarily about like what you do, it's why you do what you do. Right. Because that's the human connection between all of us all.
I like that, why you do it.
Yeah.
I thought of that. On the spot,
yeah. Yikes. Nikki?
Hey guys, so my background is very, like, very random. So I've done, like, production, I've done marketing, social media, television, film. And I actually came to WeWork because I was going through, like, my own little, like, epiphany and, like, this transition in my life where a lot of my jobs did not include diversity, and that was something that was really, really big for me. So during my interview process for WeWork, I had mentioned that I love doing events, and I've done it at my old jobs before, and I wanted to be in a space that I can feel like my authentic self, and I can see, you know, Black and Brown and Latina people like really like come together, and you know, just see something really great happen. So, you know, just being open and transparent during my interview process and coming to, you know, WeWork at 154 Grand Street and, you know, talking to Courtney and talking to Damien, you know, they brought me on and I got to experience the first line and I was like, yeah, I totally dig this. Like I'm into this. So that's how I got here.
Became part of the fold.
Yep.
And Damien.
So I moved to New York without a job. And after being in the hospitality and service industry basically all my life, I joined WeWork. My second location with WeWork was our first location, 154 Grand Street, as Nikki mentioned. And that's where I met Courtney, who was my community manager. And basically he explained that there was this event that he did called The Line, and that his goal was to make sure that anyone who entered that room didn't feel left out. And I thought that that was a very noble goal, and I just wanted to do anything I could to support that.
That's dope. So before we jump into what The Line means, we want to kick off with a positive note, like we do at Non-Corporate Girls. So can any of you share positive notes for the week? It can be one, and it could be anything.
I gotta say, this is my positive note for the week.
Oh.
this is amazing to be around. Amazing people who constantly inspire me is a positive for me, and we're drinking rum. So yeah, cheers.
Hey,
yeah.
Cheers. Cheers to that. Ladies.
A positive note for me this week is I've been really working on my blog and my brand and like really trying to get like the Curly Bay Nikki like out there. And what I did this week was create my logo, and like I love it. I fell in love with it, and like ever since last Saturday, like every single day, I've just been adding on to my blog, and just, you know, within 2 weeks it'll be up. So I'm really excited about that.
Yay, congratulations. That's dope.
I guess mine would be, it's kind of backwards, but I think my positive note this week is that I actually turned down an offer to do a production of a play, of one of my new plays that a theater company wanted to do. And I think the reason why it was a big deal is because it was the first moment in which I allowed myself to sort of stand in the honor of my work and stand behind it in a way where I was like, I don't need to jump into this opportunity, which was wonderful. And like the theater company that offered it is awesome, but they just aren't ready for the play. And so having to make that decision and standing in my truth and being like, it's not cocky. And just because I'm not a fancy, like, known playwright in the theater world, that doesn't mean that I have to say yes to this just because. So I think that was like a learning moment that I was super like, yeah.
Yes.
Congrats.
Yes. Standing in the truth, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
I feel like I should redo mine.
It was hard. It was definitely hard. It's a story about like people of color, and it's about a Dominican hair salon in the Bronx. And as a Dominican woman who's constantly struggling with her hair, like it's a story that I feel is urgent, and so I want to get it out there. But again, I want to respect. There's a lot of ancestry in that play, including like going back to the African roots of Dominican people. And I'm like, I want to make sure that this is executed correctly. We're not gonna have some like bum little like shadow puppet to do a spirit when what I wrote was having full African bodies on stage. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you can't do it right.
Yeah,
you
like
do it at all. Yeah.
And again, so I'm gonna revisit the play, and like if and when that theater company is ready, they can have it, and I'd be totally down to do it. Yeah.
Or with it. Damien.
So I'd say we have some ups and downs. This whole week's been a little bit of a low point, but the high point of all that was that I have people here that support me, and that I'm able to step away from work and to be able to handle stuff on the home front.
Good.
Gotcha.
That balance.
Yeah,
that's important. Yes, love it. So, guys and girls, can we jump into what a LIME is and the mission behind Culture LIME?
So, you know, one thing that was very clear to me about the mission of the LIME from the passion that Courtney and the team bring to it is that we really just want a space for honest conversation. I think that, and I'll speak for myself, my journey as a person of color has been one where The higher you climb and the more you open up your circles, the more isolating it can feel if you're from a group that doesn't necessarily occupy those spaces all the time for various reasons. And so it's almost like I feel like everybody who attends the line represents a different like pocket of the world and like different industries. And this is like our congregation. This is our moment to have people in front of us and say, like, let's be honest about what's happening in this industry. Let's hear from some people who are in the middle of this, you know, like journey. And like, let's have an honest conversation about what we need to do both as individuals and as a community to break that. And how can we inspire ourselves to move forward together? And so that feeling of belonging, you know what I mean? Sort of, like, that's where that really fosters itself. And then we drink and dance. You know what I mean? And I think that having that sort of be the end of the event really just speaks to the idea of what a LIME originally is, which is just a gathering of folks, you know, who are sort of, like, celebrating. And it doesn't need to be a holiday or a birthday. Yeah. It's just a moment. And I think we don't allow these moments where we give reverence to who we are, the journeys past and present and the future ones that we will help unfold. And like, this is what that's about. And it's, you know, it's just facilitated through questions and drinking and dancing, but it's really a moment of reverence, I think.
Right. No, I mean, you had a good point. I mean, I think that the fact that you guys celebrate who people are in their journey, where they're at, is really impressive. At least that's what I got from the experience I've had with you guys.
What was your culture line experience?
I mean, it was all about fostering community and celebrating who you are, which I think is really important. And we don't get, to your point, Jaleesa, we don't get a chance to do that enough. And we think too much about the future and we think too much about the past. We don't celebrate the present. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys create opportunities to do that every time you do a series.
Nice.
Yeah, I agree. I like how I agree with your positive compliment. It's just really important for me to. I think we live in a world where love is like starving for itself, and it's so many through media and through friends and the political system the way it is right now. I think it's really easy to find a person that you disagree with and you want to like argue with and things like that. However, what we all want, at least what I want, and whether it's through my job, whether it's through my art, whether it's through my family and my friends, is to realize, did I do okay?
Right.
I think we all looking for validation, especially as an artist, looking for validation to be like, listen, I put my all in this.
Right.
It is almost to the point, I used to think being an artist was trying to do things that you wanted to do. But most of it, I think being an artist, you have to do things that you have to do. And for me to reflect my experience is to create experiences and use my platform to create a space for other people to feel comfortable. And I think that is my call to service, and that's what the line is about.
Well said. So, in thinking about fostering community and networking, our theme of the month for Non-Corporate Girls is relationships and healthy relationships and what that looks like. But not just romantic, though. Platonic business. So I wanted to know from you guys, like, we are curious to know what key components you feel make a good platonic relationship or business relationship work, especially since you guys are all very different and you're coming together to do this platform.
I definitely think communication is key. Like, whether it's something bad, whether it's something good, like, as long as we communicate with each other and we know what's going on, like, no one's left out of the loop, I think that's very important. No one's left out, we know what's going on. So, that communication is what I would say, for sure.
Any other thoughts?
I would co-sign everything you just said. But I think just establishing, like, a symbiosis where, like, you know, it's mutually beneficial.
Wait till I look that up.
I like that word.
I think, yeah, where both parties feel that they're really benefiting from the relationship and just empower each other. I think that can be unstoppable.
Right. And then taking that one step further, all these over 10 series that you guys have had, when you have all these people in one room from different walks of life, how do you kind of build your relationships with those people, all the attendees that you have, the vendors, the sponsors, the people who you buy into your vision? How do you foster those relationships?
I think through compassion. I don't really think compassion to their story, compassion to their journey, compassion towards ours. I don't think any long-standing relationship can last without compassion. To be compassionate, you have to like take off the armor that you protect yourself with and be kind of vulnerable. And through that vulnerability, you can kind of like plant seeds and watch like amazing things grow, kind of like the relationships that I hope that I have with everyone here.
Yeah, you got those relationships.
Yeah, you do. That's real. That was a really great word. I love that word. So thinking about another C, challenge, what would you say, if you've had any, have been any challenges with building your startup, and how have you guys navigated through that?
So the Lime originally started where we wanted to highlight people who categorize themselves as other. However, quickly find out that not everyone considers themselves an other. It's like, I am who I am. So after a certain point, we had people was like, hey, even though this was in the promotion and in the marketing for this event, and when you come to the event, or if you're just walking outside like our event space, people felt like, can I actually go to this event? Mm-hmm. Because it seems like an event where you're giving a platform to people of color. So it was hard to... We did a focus group at one point, and people that I considered as other didn't consider themselves as other.
Right.
So just changing the language and really changing and stepping into somebody else's point of view at the very beginning was, I don't even want to say challenging. I would say enlightening. There's nothing about this journey that's been challenging for me personally, just because it's been... The relationships, the experiences, the musical performances that I wouldn't have been able to see, the conversations with four or five people that I would love to have dinner with at any given time, and these aha moments have all been like an incredible like journey for me. But there are some things that I wish I knew before that I know now, but that's also part of the fun continuing to do the line. You're constantly learning new things.
Right, part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess another challenge I would say is just like the unfortunate like state of the world where like everything needs to be like marketed in a specific way, and that marketing is the thing.
Yeah.
And when you have something as special as the line, like obviously like everybody's willing to put the footwork to like advertise and push and push and push. But you just hit, sometimes I just hit these moments, especially when I'm on that stage and asking questions and like being able to see everyone's face and how they're like digesting this. I'm like, see, I don't know how to market this in an Instagram post, because this is what it is. It's not the like just the cool bio and the backgrounds of people or that cool performer
right.
that everybody's into. It's actually the unspokenness and like, how do I, for lack of a better word, sell that to you, because I just want you to know that that exists. It's almost like we all are drawn to that level of authenticity, but because everything has to be marketed, we don't know how to trust events. And I want people, like people who've been here, always come back.
Right.
But getting new people through
yeah.
the door.
I don't know how you like market
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
And I guess to your point, it like I said, not challenging, because I'm really into trying to figure out if that can be done. However, it's just something that you have to feel. Like I can tell you what to say, and after a while, I feel like you'll forget it, and I can tell you what to do, but like nobody will ever forget how you made them feel.
Yeah. Right.
And we validate every experience. And I know that's a broad statement to make, but maybe not too broad, because everyone, like I said before, just wants to feel validated,
yeah.
like their experience
right.
matters. And no matter who you are, coming through that door, we're validating your experience. And at the end, we want you to leave with your spirit filled.
Yeah.
And that, and if you do that and you operate out of a sense with no ego, that can be easily done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys do that, you know, like, especially like on social media. I know that it's hard, but having those videos and just seeing
yeah.
the faces and people and how they're interacting and engaging, you know, you're kind of marketing the experience. Whether people are taking it as that, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Right.
But you are doing that. And obviously, like you said, once you get in, you don't want to leave. You want to come back.
Yeah.
Like, you become a regular.
Yeah.
And it's, we're only responsible to that point as far as the video for our intention.
Yeah.
And, like, our intention, the common denominator is, like, love and opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, the people that come are amazing and have an amazing time and continue to come back, and that crowd is growing and growing more. Yeah, but it's a journey that
yeah.
we love to experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, tell us, what's next for Culture Lime? We know the little birdie said that there is an event coming up February 28th, I believe.
Yes.
But tell us what's next.
All right, so the next line is taking place February 28th.
I'm so sorry. I'm the latecomer, guys.
At 154 Grand Street in Soho. You can find out all the information on culturelime.com.
It's up. It's
by the time this.
Okay.
Well,
I just want to make sure people know.
It's
not
y'all.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
not
for y'all.
So by Monday.
Yeah.
By Monday.
You're giving people
I guess now.
Yeah.
you can find all the information. We have incredible performances. It is free. It's open bar. Just come with a positive attitude, positive spirit, and you will leave even more full than when you came in.
Mm-hmm. And free and open bar.
Yes.
Keywords.
Okay. Nobody else is like, forget the experience. We got free alcohol. And free entry.
And it's a
and
party.
Music.
Right, I'm like,
yeah.
Party. It's a little turn up set.
We have
it's all
DJs,
music.
We have a live band, we have panel discussions.
Live
it's gonna
band.
Be,
yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Real.
It's all the way
yeah.
lit.
Okay, February 28th, 6 p.m., right?
Yes. Yeah.
They can find information on Culture Lime.
Yes.
Got
yeah,
it.
This is up after Monday.
It will be up. All right, so tell us, where do you see Culture Lime going in the future, like a year from now?
More Lime events and more, actually, I just really just, however we can use this platform as a platform of service, I don't have a vision of what that is. I know we're stepping out to do other type of events besides the Lime. We have an amazing Phenomenally We event that's coming up in March.
Yeah!
Yeah. Yo, y'all didn't even call me a drink. That's so shady. Like, I was coming.
They didn't have drinks at all, though? They didn't
have. Look, let me tell you. First of all, you the manager in Harlem, right? So your people and your ship is running a tight one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. Because when I got there, I was like, she was like, yeah, that's my manager. And I was like, so she's not here? Yo, I'm a freaking flop.
Yeah.
I can't even believe what just happened.
Got some other amazing things. We're going to do a live podcast soon. And hopefully continue to work and just do like some amazing things. I don't even want to say what's going to happen in a year out, because I feel like when you get a certain amount of people in a room with the right energy, the things that I would have predicted would have happened in a year out, just the energy will make that happen like in a couple of weeks. So it's constantly exploring, constantly being inspired, constantly traveling, constantly meeting new people who will share their stories and create content off of that.
I know y'all probably answered this. I'm probably going to have to run it back, but this was my major curiosity and my like only question. Is Culture Lime a separate... My only question, like, as far as, like,
her running question.
Yes.
You
question
made
right
and you have one question?
This is how you are in all your interviews?
This is hospitality.
Yeah. Yo, but for real.
That Culture Lime
hospitality. That's what you fan. Are you guys a separate entity from WeWork? So, like, if you wanted to continue this outside, or is this, like, a part of...
I don't even know. No, it's separate.
It's super separate.
I was like, I believe it's separate,
yeah,
right?
But it's being supported by...
Yeah, it's being... I mean, WeWork is very... Like, the two missions align.
Mm-hmm,
sure. So, it's... everyone here is a WeWork employee. Everyone here, a lot of the people that's been on the panel who has performed at the Lime has been WeWork employees. So it's not really about like being separate. And I think, unfortunately, that's kind of why the line has to exist. It's more about like everyone agreeing with you.
I think what WeWork does is they task us to throw big, important events. And at the building level, they allow us to decide what's important.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they see it and our missions align, they'll support it. And
yeah,
when you've got a company like WeWork supporting you,
yeah,
sky's the limit.
Which is dope.
Yeah.
It's really dope.
Yeah.
But I just also want us to protect what's ours. And that's where my question comes from.
Trust me,
it's
protected.
Yeah,
has no
yeah.
Like you exactly what Dan said, like every community manager and team is like encouraged to create programming that they think is relevant to them and the members that they serve. And because the line is so inclusive, it is relevant to everyone and the missions are very much aligned. So it's less about ownership of like the line itself. The baby and the idea was definitely born from like Courtney and the team, but you know, WeWork does support that sort of stuff. So it's less ownership and it's more like we have a space, there is a need, you can run that need, and so we support that.
Yeah.
Right. It's a collaborative effort here.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So that being said, what advice can you offer people who are looking to start something of their own where they foster community and growth and all the amazing things you guys are doing?
And to add to that frame of question, because as non-corporate girls, we're about, for the people that are in corporate spaces, because WeWork is technically a corporate space, you guys are cultivating that type of collaboration. So for people in other spaces to get that support, if they don't, like how could they like move forward to try to create something in a space where they feel
I really think my mother told me this a while ago, and it's kind of always stuck with me, is just write down what success means to you now. That way it's much easier to make decisions based off of that, because like you know what you want. And I also think as long as your intention comes from a passionate place and it comes from a place of service, I think you can effectively do anything that you want to do.
Anything on that? Do you guys have anything
do
you want to say on that?
I can't with his face.
Yeah. No, I guess no. I guess because I agree to what you're saying as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. yeah. I think it's special. What we have here is special.
Yeah.
And as long as you can really buy into what you are doing being a need, and or it being special to some degree, whatever special means to you. Special can be an intimate group of 10 people, like supporting each other's growth, and that's successful. It can be that scaling to 100, and then like that's successful, right? But like, what is the special thing? Like, and those things change as needs and size change. Like even the line, like the reason we can't predict the future. I mean, I don't know if we're packing rooms of 200 people, like things have to change a little bit. Like, you know, like what does that look like? What does that mean for us? And so, but to always remember what's special and let that drive every decision that you make within that, I would say.
I love that. It's like a quote.
That's
a quote moment. So in the beginning of the episode, I told you guys that we would like to know what your hashtag obsessed with is. So any ideas of a hashtag obsessed with? For each of you or any of you.
Don't all go jumping at once.
This is a person or an event?
It could be a person. It could be alive, dead, someone you admire, celebrity, non-celebrity, whatever you want. Platform, man, woman. It's really open.
It wasn't at first, but then we try to make
it. It is fluid because life is fluid. Right?
I'll go first. This is Nikki, guys, by the way. So who I'm obsessed with right now, her name's Gloria Adam, and she is the creator.
Oh, I love her.
She's the creator of Well-Read Black Girl.
Yeah.
And the reason why I've been obsessed with her is because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, when I was transitioning jobs, because I was working at a place that was so corporate and it wasn't diverse at all, and I was at a point where I feel like I was losing myself. Like I wasn't identifying with who I was because I was surrounded by so many people who weren't like me. Reading books, and especially reading books by African American women and even Latina women, like it really like it really had me be proud of who I am, be proud of my skin, be proud of my ethnicity, my background, you know, the way that I speak and just be my authentic self and just be happy with how dope I am. And just, you know, so I'm obsessed with her and just being able to get back into reading books, and especially, you know, reading books that relate to Black women. So that's what I'm obsessed with right now.
I love her. Anyone else?
This is my first podcast interview, so I think if I was I don't know how to say it. If I should say yes, I'm
maybe.
So if I don't say I'm if I'm obsessed with anybody besides my mother, she's gonna listen back and she's gonna kill me. But besides her, I and the rest of the women in my family.
Right, you knew that fight was coming soon.
All the women. I am obsessed, and I'm constantly obsessed with the same two people because they constantly come up with ways to rediscover my interests. Stevie Wonder, and I just saw the Bill Streaker talk by my favorite writer, my favorite intellect, James Baldwin. So just re-examining and rediscovering his work has been a constant source of inspiration.
Excellent.
So I'm obsessed with James Baldwin as I am every single day.
Yeah, we can't have the same answers. My mother would love if you were obsessed with me. I mean, the reason I was gonna say my mom is because, like, you know, as a 28-year-old Black woman who is Afro-Latina, there's been a big moment. I don't know if it's a midlife crisis. I don't know what's going on. But, like, I've been... Listen, you see these grays in my hair? Midlife. I've been obsessed with actually going back and not looking for heroes and icons and other people and really reaching back to the roots, because I believe if I am inspiring people to a degree and if people do find some sort of spark with, whether it's my words or actions, that came from somewhere. I didn't raise myself. And a lot of these characteristics I do draw from my mother, but given the fact that we're talking about a woman who came as an immigrant, didn't get to finish her high school education because she took her opportunity to, like, you know, she was an orphan by the age of 13, took the opportunity to live with someone so that she wouldn't be impoverished her whole life and can get some sort of education, fell in love with my father after a while, and, like, you know, then at some point they came to the United States, but sacrificed a lot of her, like, me moments, which, yes, society would have influenced her to do anyway, but, like, she really took ownership of her decisions, and everything that she's done from the moment she stepped foot in New York City to now has always had a motive of, like, creating a legacy, not just for herself, but because she wasn't gonna let family die. And so just because her parents died, like, that could have been the book. Her and her siblings got separated and they could have each lived individual lives that would have sort of ended the legacy of, like, what is the crux of our family? And she fought very long and hard to make sure that that didn't happen. And in a way, that's what inspires me to be like, okay, well, not just, like, my mom's namesake, but, like, my identity as a person on this planet, like, that's the same level of tenacity and fervor that I need to have, because what's happening now is that I'm trying to be erased in a very different way. And so, you know, I think that it's important to reflect that. And as a Latina mom, Dominican moms are known to be super strict and, like, wild and crazy. And, like, some of those things are true, but there is something to be learned and something to take on and reinterpret for my own context out of her experience. And I'm obsessed with that. And it's making me look at my mother as a woman in the world as opposed to my mom. And there's something so inspiring about that, which reminds me, I don't need to find, like, there's no TV character, movie, or anything that represents me. I can look at my mom and say, no, but you are enough. What you represent is enough, and I can carry that forward, you know?
My mother's going to be pissed.
I'm like, whoa. That was epic.
That was a history lesson. That was very true. And sometimes we don't see our parents or, like, direct family members in that way. Not because they need to accomplish some great feat, but at the end of the day, they did struggle and go through things that, like, we're trying. Like, my intention right now is, like, breaking cycles. It ends with me. That's it.
I agree. And I think that that's part of the inspiration. Yeah. For sure.
Love you, Ma.
Yeah.
I cannot. We are not in competition.
Yeah.
I'm like, Damian Nicole, I think it's an ad. Sorry.
That was.
I'm obsessed with you.
I would say if there's anything that's really drawn my attention this week, it is there's two women in my life, my girlfriend Julia and my sister Juliana. They are both going through loss in their own ways, and the way that they are, like, not confronting it, but the way that they're just, like, persevering through it is incredible, and constantly I just put myself in their shoes, and I immediately crumble, and I kind of have to step back into my own shoes and just watch their strength and just, you know, take it all in, and it's something else, so.
That was like an honest, that was like a super honest, transparent answer.
Yeah. Well, shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them.
And whatever they're going through is temporary.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sending love and light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Delilah, you want to kick off our game?
Sure. Ooh. Let's end
it
on
a little fun.
Yeah, so we always try to do something like pairing in that's a little bit different. So this segment is going to be most recent. So you guys all have a chance to answer. Like, the first question is, and it'll have to be whatever order. So, most recent place you've traveled to for work or pleasure?
The Philly.
You went to Philly?
Yeah.
For work or?
Pleasure. I went to LA for work in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so that was recent.
I don't know why this is so.
It's okay.
It's like
okay.
I did it.
But was it recent? That's it.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
y'all, recent.
Yeah.
And Philly's dope.
Oh.
LA's dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way. I actually was in Philly recently, too, after. I went to Philly after LA as well. But I'm going to Japan on Monday.
For pleasure?
For half and half.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go with you.
I'm answering last.
I can't answer.
I know, right? I don't know. It's okay.
Nikki, what? Like, how fast?
What?
Because she's like,
I'm.
I haven't gone anywhere.
Well, most recent. What's your most recent?
If recent was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's your most recent.
Yeah, but that I need her to go somewhere. Because that is a problem.
Well, Courtney's my boss, so he has to
start
PTO.
I like a Monday.
Wait. Before Courtney, where have you been, girl?
Yeah.
So, I'm like, wait. Because you went on a luxurious trip.
All right. So I went to Fiji with my boyfriend.
First of all, nobody
here
can afford Fiji because
we were gone for like 2 weeks.
Right. This is what I'm talking about.
That's like on my list.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's trying to act all passive, but I haven't been there.
That's that modest shit.
That's the people who travel. Right, like you're not allowed to say you don't go anywhere,
yeah.
But, but I haven't been to Fiji.
Girl,
I only
drink
the water.
Right,
that's what
I'm saying.
The water.
That's the only place I've been to in a long time.
But it was a time
because
benefits.
It took my whole bank account. That's why.
But the question was most recent.
Yes.
Most recent was Fiji.
That's a quality trip.
Yeah. Like
5 months ago.
We
about quality.
5 months ago.
Yes. That's not even
that's
that.
She's tripping.
That's
basically
Damien.
Damien, right. Let's
move on. Most recently, I was at WeWork Summit in LA. I was fortunate enough to have some amazing Korean food and to have the Red Hot Chili Peppers perform.
Oh.
So,
okay.
First time seeing them in LA.
Oh, yeah.
And me, Damien, and Julissa, there's only small parts of the story that I can share.
Notice he didn't say Nikki because I was left behind.
That
could have been her recent
trip.
She was in Fiji, yes.
That could have been a recent trip. But they
me, done. Julissa, and Damien went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
For the first time. I've never
been.
Oh, how
did
I
like
it?
Or for the 10th.
Or for the
10th. Yes. Again,
This is that kitchen table tour. That kitchen table tour.
I see what's going on.
Non podcast tour right now.
By the way, our podcast doesn't get edited.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All right. So moving on. Moving on.
All right. All right.
Most recent book you've read. Yeah, I need it.
No, I'm currently reading this amazing book called "A Stamp from the Beginning," and it tells the story of racist ideas and racist thoughts and the birth of those and how black and brown people have been there from the beginning to be considered 3/5 of a person. I highly suggest it. It's an amazing
book. I want to write that down.
It really changed the way that I look at American history. Just a lot of the people that you grow up idolizing, thinking that their amazing figures considered you not human. It's really eye-opening. It tells the black and brown experience and a story that we don't hear nearly enough. We talk about representation, but the Native Americans in their story needs to be told. It's almost criminal how their story is almost non-existent in media. But it tells the story of various people, whether it's Thomas Jefferson, all the way up to, it's not all the way up to Harriet Tubman, but it's Thomas Jefferson, Harriet Tubman, Angela Davis, and it leads to where most people in America, though we live in a post-racial society with the inauguration of Barack Obama. But it's an amazing book. It's great.
And what's the title again?
It's called Stamped from the Beginning. Okay. And I will not disrespect the author in trying to pronounce his name, but it's a great, great book.
Gotcha.
Anybody else? That sounds good.
Oh, I should have went after.
No, I didn't. No, actually, I was going to say this is one of my wobbles in life. I've never been much of a reader. I'm more of a watcher. I like to hear my stories. I don't like to read as much, which is contradictory as a writer. But the last book I did read was more like a read so that a friend could have someone to chat with, Tortilla Flat by John Steinbeck, which I never really read books like that. The book I read before that, which is more interesting for me to talk about, is This Is How You Lose Her by Juno Diaz. I'm a little mad at Juno right now, so it's not really to big him up, but more to big up a story about love and breakup and gender roles even in how we handle those situations, and it coming from a Dominican perspective as a Dominican woman was really heartbreaking and inspiring at the same time, because it's so y'all motherfuckers do see what y'all got going on. You do see the plan, and it was important for me to have, from a male perspective, that honest ownership of this is
we're not both.
Yeah, and this is how you lose her, right? And this is what you do. And so it was very validating and represented, I think, the female perspective in a really beautiful way that was simple, but it spoke volumes, sort of the way the men behaved with the women, especially the generations, right, and how he does that in a generational way where you see the woman who's in this country and can't really leave the dude because she literally depends on him financially and he's the reason she's here, versus the guy who is just a jerk and uses his privilege to rock around with women and is hurting someone of value and isn't uplifting one of his, black Latinx women, and how detrimental that is.
Doesn't show his dependency on his woman.
I think so, towards, there's some patterns at one point. I won't, talk about it chronologically in case anyone checks it out, but, there are parts where you start to see how his response to losing and how he then, turns to women in a way that is trying to fill a void that came from the wonderful, healthy, supportive woman he had that he wanted to act up with. So that's not a spoiler, because the book literally leads with that.
And that's, mad stories out here in the hood.
Right. It was a hood love story in a way that was really elegant and beautiful and honest. So I love that book.
Anyone else?
So right now I'm at the tail end of David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell, which kind of debunks the perception of an underdog story in America, and I highly recommend it, especially if you have a commute and you don't like being in the middle of a longer chapter and kind of stopping. He kind of tells his story, he'll posit something, and then he'll tell a lot of little stories and then tie them all together at the end. So I'm at the tail end of that, so I'm looking forward to him wrapping that up.
Cool.
For me, the last book that I read was Well-Read Black Girl by Gloria Edom. And that book is just a little bit different because each chapter is a different author. And what I like is that each woman is a Black woman, and she's mm-hmm. telling her story, whether it be her trials, her tribulations, her challenges, her successes. And the reason why I picked up that book is because I feel like I feel like Black women are underrepresented and they're misrepresented, and we are the underdogs. Like, no one mm-hmm. sees us as being successful or being beautiful. And in that book, it really shows you how powerful the Black woman is. And I highly suggest it to any woman who is Black. Get that confidence back and really like build yourself up, because after I was reading that book, I completely felt like a goddess, and I was walking the streets like I was the
yes.
ish, if you know what I mean. So,
sounds good.
Yeah. And I'm okay, sorry, before this, before we recorded the podcast, she was on some business call, and I don't know who.
Oh, yeah, she was like reading them out. I know.
Reading got reamed.
And
yeah.
They
I
got reamed.
Said from the office, I was like, see, that's why we need a Black woman to lead this country, because she'll have somebody on the phone like,
gathered.
I will be there on the weekend, and I will cut half this team. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Get it together.
You heard that. I will cut this team.
That book sounds like a chicken soup for the soul book for people of
yeah.
color.
Yeah.
I used to love those books. Mm-hmm. All right. So, our most recent person I've met. So, who's the most recent person
you've met? Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
You met me. That's recent, like the event we met. Alrighty.
I thought you said he was gonna go last.
Yeah,
like,
that happened to the rule.
It's fine. You can say you met me, but we met.
It's okay. I can't. It's okay. Anybody else?
You met somebody in that LA conference, I'm sure.
No.
Ain't no
boot
up
story.
It was
really?
Nothing.
Well, not a boot up, but like somebody.
But like everybody.
Everybody.
Where their minds are.
You are. You messy. You messy.
Everybody. It could be a business relationship.
That's
someone,
what I'm saying.
You smiled at someone and then who'd you be?
She got a little bit red over there. She's red over there.
No,
she
I'm laughing because I think it's funny. I don't know. I'm embarrassed that I thought like one of these
I can't.
It's funny because, again, a story I can't really talk about. But wait, that Monday night.
This Matthew.
This whole group is like. I can't even say it. This is an expression.
No, expression. Once again, my mother's gonna listen. Yeah.
Right.
I hope that she shared it with all her friends.
Of her.
This is PG-13.
She got a
Facebook.
Huh?
Your mom got a Facebook?
Nah.
We don't even believe in Facebook.
Okay. Wow.
Oh.
That's why he hasn't met nobody new. Cause like he's.
Like, oh, I'm done.
We about to get corny on Black people.
I can't. Is that still a rap?
Yeah.
It is. He logged in.
Yes.
You see?
Really?
Yeah. I'm Big
Black.
Wallace, 1997.
Big Wallace.
All right.
Wow.
Are you available? Are you available?
It's complicated.
Okay. Anybody want a little bit of messing drama? Hit him up.
Big Wallace.
1997.
I did meet someone recently, actually, business related.
Thanks for bringing it.
I can't even.
Her name is Joanna, and she worked a little bit under the Obama administration, helping with LGBTQ.
I really need to go after you.
LGBTQIA+ and trans, like community issues, and recently has gone back to Puerto Rico, where she's from. And you know, recently in Puerto Rico, there was a murder of a reggaeton artist who identified as gay, and the trans community there is having a difficult time, as many trans people have in Latinx.
It's crazy.
It's
now wild. You start seeing people's true colors.
Yeah, and it's really wild because the person who is the most like Black power, woman power, will talk trans, and then that becomes somehow their area of like, that's my line, right? And so, but meeting Joanne is really inspirational, because what Joanne is doing at this point, like considering everything that the island has been going through, is opening she's trying to start a nonprofit for teens. She wants to open a center for trans teens in Puerto Rico, which I think is just
that's
phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I met her at this Latinx brunch that was coordinated by Kat Lazo of Me Too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So Kat Lazo put it together with myself, some social media people and then also some just like general activists in the space, and it was just to meet each other. We called it Latinx Prom. We dressed up.
Yes, I saw a photo.
Yes,
of that. I was going to just mention that event.
Yeah, so like I was part of that and it was wonderful, and I met Joanne there, and I hope to, like, you know, meeting people like this is when I think about like the lime and it circles back. It's like we get to meet these awesome people and then say, ooh, everybody should meet you, and like you are a person who like everyone should know, whether you already have the nonprofit or you're building it, right? But you've got yourself to a place where you could say, I'm about to start one. That means something. What was that journey? So Joanne's amazing. I hope to work with her to some capacity. I'm thinking, my brain's reeling. I'm like, how are we gonna work together? This is important. Bad Bunny, actually, who's a reggaeton artist, recently had a music video, and this was a bit of my obsession too for the week, is that there's a song called Caro, which means expensive, and he has a music video, and gender norms are challenged in that video heavy.
He's painting his nails.
Yeah, and then he has a woman sort of like take on his persona, and at the end there's like a like gender fluidity moment. It's beautiful. My point is that what is also an obsession that I didn't mention slash someone who I met is, you know, the trans community overall and the way in which allies are stepping up. And I think that reggaeton is a genre that's generally a bit sexist and like exploits women. And the idea that someone who's on the forefront, who's basically like the Drake of reggaeton now, is coming out and making, like, you know, these statements and having trans people and drag queens in the video as well. So I'm obsessed with that. I'm so glad I got to meet Joanne, because she's just the tip of the iceberg of like what I hope is an exploration of gender norms and fighting that, not only in Puerto Rico, but hopefully that she can teach me how to help or support and elevate someone who can do that in Dominican Republic or the South Bronx, like even, you know.
That was dope. All right, so then you guys want to answer, or will we go to the next one? All right, so the most recent thoughtful gesture you've done for someone else. We'll start over here.
Ian must have one. Yeah, both y'all are such given people, I'm sure.
Not even holding the bathroom door.
Oh, well, that's like every day.
But people don't do it.
Right.
That requires some thought, though.
That's true.
Just do it, right?
Yeah.
I wish everyone did, though.
The ignorance.
For me, the most recent thoughtful gesture that I have done is for my boyfriend, Abel, because he's been with me for 4 years, and he's seen my ups and downs and my growth and, like, all my crazy times. And, you know, he's that guy that everybody wants. Like, he'll do any and everything, and he's always been that protector. And recently I just told him, like, you know, just like sit back, like, I've got dinner, I've got laundry, I'll clean the house, I'll give you a massage, we'll take tunes,
cute,
do other stuff, like, let me cater to you. Yeah, let me cater to you, and let me treat you like a king the way that you make me feel like a queen every single day. So
hashtag black love.
Hashtag relationship goals.
My Dominican daddy, I know you're gonna
get
this.
Hey, so.
Spicy.
Like, oh
god. I guess.
The shade.
I would have to say, just in terms of thoughtful gestures, what comes to mind is not something that I've done, but something that's been done for me. I would say that my girlfriend Julia, she is just forever thoughtful. She's constantly trying to anticipate my needs. She's just always on top of the ball. Like, you know, she'll text me, make sure, like, I ate, which usually isn't a problem. Most recently, she's actually going to be launching her food blog in the coming months, Bread and Basil. And so she's been testing out recipes. And one of the things she's very sensitive to is people's different, like, food allergies, or just anything that they may be trying to do. So, you know, whether it's, you know, making brownies that are dairy free, or, you know, for one of our, like, building mates downstairs, making, like, an entirely vegetarian, like, I don't know, nacho dish or something like that. She's just constantly thinking about what other people need. So, shout out to her.
Your girlfriend sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll end it off with your most memorable failure.
Oh, I love that question.
Which one?
editing, so we gotta come.
Yeah, so
I mean, not that quick, but like, you know.
I feel like you have one.
I got one.
Yeah, I'm like
six on. So my most memorable failure is probably the reason why I'm here today. Not to get into too much detail, but at my last job, there were like so many projects that I was working on and holding 10 different hats, and something fell through the cracks and I failed at it. And I was really down on myself, but the way that a certain person handled it made me realize I can't do this anymore. I'm not valued and it's time to go. So me failing allowed me to prosper and be successful. And, you know, I've only been at this job for about like 2 months, but just having that failure and coming here, everything happens for a reason. So I'm grateful for that.
And that's why we asked the question, because that's the whole point. Like, it's not always necessarily a failure. It leads you to the next best thing, ultimately. So, who else was failing?
I honestly think my whole life has been somewhat of failing forward, because I don't think I wouldn't have gotten to any of the amazing parts of life that I've experienced without the door closing in one aspect of where I thought I was going. But not to sound cliche, I mean, everything has happened for the reason. It's been no mistakes. I felt a lot. The most memorable one, probably something I did today, but I my whole life has been I've been blessed to have fell forward, because I learned journeys and throughout that journey, and from that, I'm able to speak and be present in a compassionate sense, because I've experienced so much of what I quote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Failure.
Yeah. I.
Oh, here we go.
Damien, you better answer. No, because it's interesting, because like the first thing I thought of was like a specific like project that I did once where I was like, well, we were in way over our heads. I'd written a video that was supposed to be a parody of Scandal for someone, and I didn't watch Scandal. I was not a big Scandal fan. Don't shoot me. But like, I didn't really get into it, right? But appreciated it and supported it in any way I could, you know, just as it existed. Besides like tuning in all the time, like people, sure, like sometimes I like try to like leave it on in the background just for the sake, right? But I went into that project really hot and heavy and being like, yeah, I'll just like write it. I watched like 2 episodes and write it. And then there was like, no one was aligned in the passion in the project, and that was reflected in the end result. Mm-hmm. But I think that actually ties to something way bigger, which is my biggest failure that I've come to realize now in my 27 years of life. I turned 28 in like 2 weeks. It's wild. I can't believe it. But like,
girl,
and I'm young. I know I'm young, but it just like the, you know, when you're a black woman, like your years, like,
yeah,
heavy.
Like it's still a
thought.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're
like,
still
it's
thinking
low.
Like, it's,
like,
yeah,
I'm definitely
yeah,
young.
Yeah.
I have so much like, ahead of me,
sure.
But here we are, 27, almost 28, mm-hmm. And it's been a heavy 28.
Yeah.
So I feel Nah,
but it's
right?
True. There's some shit we shouldn't have been going
right,
through.
Going through and things, especially recently in my life, I feel like the convention of who I am as a woman and what women go through has been hitting me really fast and really hard in ways that I've had to digest. And it's been a true test of my strength. And anyway, so that all leads to the biggest failure I've had is not scheduling myself in my own life. For myself. And I think that
yes.
For
self-care.
Me,
yes.
Yeah.
Self-care.
And it's really hard because self-care like is marketed one way, and so we think if we don't handle self-care in the marketed way that we fail. So like if I can't accomplish going to yoga 3 times a week at 7 a.m., I failed at self-care. That's not true,
mm-hmm.
Right? So like it's really trying to redefine what does that look like, and it's taken a lot of work. It's been a failure of listening to myself first and answering to people, you know, before answering for myself. So like saying yes to things that actually like Julissa doesn't want to do that. But Julissa has failed to listen to herself because she wants to, her ego wants to please or like make a realist, you know, someone else's dream come true in some sort of degree. And we've been taught that that's how community works, is that we always put everything first. But we don't examine how burnout works. And I think that I've had 27 years of life burnout, so that when things started happening to me in my life that felt out of my control, that it felt like I couldn't redeem myself from them. And that's the moment I realized it's because you failed to create room for yourself. So now that you absolutely have no choice and the only way you can get through this is through having strength for yourself, now you know why it was important to take those days for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm going to let myself make that mistake again. And I think the play was also part of that decision.
Right.
Yeah.
That was strong.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, well, on that lovely note, the last thing we want to do here is, in the beginning, I introduce you guys to what Culture Lime is. We want you or one of you to kind of introduce yourself to the world and what they should know Culture Lime as. It should be Courtney. It should be Courtney. It should be Courtney.
When I did any mini money room.
No, he didn't get to do it.
Oh, man. The line is so many things to me. My heart has kind of many pockets, and the line kind of holds a special place in all of it. Like I said earlier, I think we live in a society where kind of like love is starving for itself. And I think the line is a place where you go to be fed. And it's a unique experience. It's an experience based on love. And love is shown through the smile that you get when you come through the door, to the music that's being played, to the panelists that we have, to the way the bartender greets you, to the way when you come in and check in, how we greet you there. It's in the smiles that people have. It's in the genuine conversations that you have. I don't think there's anything more, I don't think that there's anything more genuine than just being around people who reflect what you reflect. And I know we based a lot on like gender identity and race, but just like general people who really do like care for each other and care about your experience, even if we don't have like the same experience.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's what the line is for me today. But one of the great things about the line is that it constantly changes.
Right.
So tomorrow just might be about the live performance, or tomorrow about the food we have, about like the alcohol. But the initial attention was always about love and rediscovering who you are.
I love that. That was well said. That was really great. So on that note, everyone, we hope to see you in attendance on February 28th,
yes,
6 p.m., 154 Grand Street, right?
Yes.
All right? Because this is going to be an event that we do not want to miss out. It's an experience.
Yes.
Right?
An experience.
Yes.
We'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure to follow the line, right?
Yes. Instagram
@CultureLine.
It's @CultureLine.
Instagram.com.
Yeah, there you go.
And all the info will be up there.
Monday.
Yeah, it's on Monday. You can find me on MySpace.
I'm done.
On that though, we are signing out.
We are signing out. Peace out, y'all.
We hope you enjoyed listening to episode 61, Fostering Community with Culture Lime. And also, we want to remind you to follow Non-Corporate Girls on Instagram, which is @Non-Corporate Girls, and check out our new website, www.noncorporategirls.com, and be sure to check out our merch. It just launched. Peace out.